The Lord moved in a, he always moves in a mighty and powerful way, but real powerfully last Sunday. And the theme, once again, the time is now through this year. And the title for this morning's message is, The Time is Now to Build Correctly. The time is now to build correctly. And as we go to the Word of the Lord here this morning, I'm going to be using very familiar scriptures. Amen. If you've been saved for a few years, very familiar scriptures. I'm going to just give a teaching. Amen. Here this morning. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. If you don't have your Bible, all scriptures I'll be getting touched on this day will be on the screens. Amen. And if you don't have a Bible, I really encourage you to go find a good study Bible, amen, that you may be able to study to find yourself approved as the Word of God says, amen, that you make it a great concern to go get you a good Bible, amen, because how many know the Word of the Lord is the blueprint? It's the blueprint of the architect called Jesus. We can't really build anything, more or less anything correctly, outside of God's Word. The way we build is found through the instructions of God's Word. So we need His Word. Tell your neighbor, you need His Word if you want to build correctly. Now, we know that we're just not building anything. We're building the kingdom of God, which represents the saving of the lost and the bounds. Amen. Means salvation taking place. We're not just building anything, amen. We're building the house of God, amen. So it's important here this morning that you get these few verses within your spirit. So when things arise, you will have the instructions, even under pressure, to continue to build correctly, amen. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through verse 15. By the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful. Amen. Each one should be careful how he builds. There's a concern here. As Paul was speaking that, as we build, each one of us, making it personal this morning, that we should build being careful. Verse 11 goes on to say, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor for this beautiful day, a day that you have made. And I pray right now, Lord Father God, that we be still and know that you're God. That we be careful to listen to your instructions here this morning that are very important if we're going to build correctly. Speak to me here this morning, Lord, in your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. In order to build correctly, we need to have a good attitude. Amen. And not only in building the kingdom of God, but when you go to work. If you have a bad attitude, you show up, but you really don't want to be there. You can have a bad attitude with your spouse, a bad attitude with your children. And we can also have a bad attitude in church. I put here, have you ever had a bad attitude towards our very church or one another? And within that period of time of having a poor attitude for whatever took place, were you really excited to be building while you were under that attitude? See, sometimes it's hard enough as it is under the attack of the enemy to build correctly, to build being excited, knowing that we're building the house of God and that it's very important in how we build. It's important how we build the house of God. It's important that we have a relationship with the Lord. In order to have a conviction when we do something that might be wrong and having a bad attitude, to get back right and having a good attitude. It's important here this morning. It deals with the lost and the bound. Each and every one of us need to be careful how we build when it comes to building the house of God. If we're going to do our godly part in building the church, how many want to do their part in building the house of God? Amen? In building the kingdom of God and winning the lost and the bound, which we were at one time unto Jesus, being reconciled back to the Father. How many want to do their part? Coming to church this morning is a start. Faith comes by hearing. It's a start. But eventually, we got to get strong enough, willing enough to do our part. To do our part. If we're going to do our godly part in building the church, I put here we must know our gift or gifts for some. If we're going to build correctly, it's very important that you know your gift or your gifts. Some have multiple gifts. To build correctly, Paul would say it as an expert builder. I believe to get to that degree of being a good builder, we need to be operating in our gift. Amen? And in carpentry, there's journeyman and another one, and there's a master. Amen? And that's one that really knows their trade. I believe we should all be working towards getting our masters in Jesus. Because it's important in building the kingdom of God. Within that equation, there are sons and daughters that are connected. So I ask you here this Sunday morning, how have you been building lately? How have you been building lately? I put here, once you know your gift, invest in your gift. Invest in your gift. I've known many that find their gift and they don't invest in their gift. It's almost as if they want everything handed to them, give it to them. I remember when I found out that my gift was to be a pastor, amen? My calling was to be a pastor. I remember I was making minimum paying job, and I remember I would go and buy me a commentary set that was $700. Sounds like craziness. But once I knew my gifts, once I knew the calling upon my life, I started to invest within the gift that the Lord had placed in my life so I could learn how to build correctly. Because prior to getting saved, I couldn't build anything. And I believe here this morning, I'm not the only one that can say and keep it 100, keeping it real, that we were good at building anything. If anything, we were good at destroying everything. But to build something, I brought me two shelves from my office. And I know Alex used to work at a place where they put these things together. I'm real poor in that area. I don't want to follow 1,000 instructions just for a shelf with 4 levels on it. We really need to be concerned how we build. Because people that are lost and down, sons and daughters, are expecting us to build correctly. That we may be able to demonstrate what Jesus is able to do in one's life when we build correctly. When we invest in the gift that God has placed within our lives to edify the body of Christ, to build up, to strengthen the body of Christ. Each and every one of us, even if you're feeling weak here this morning, not having a good day, you've been called to strengthen the body of Jesus. We've been called to use our gifts in and out of season. The problem sometimes within the church that our gifts are only used when everything is going good. And how many know that everything is not always going to go good? How many know that we're living in end times? How many know that the enemy don't like our church because we go beyond the walls and saving the lost and bound that are still out there? We need to know that we're going to be under attack on our best day. And that we need to be those men, those women, those youth of conviction that know how to build correctly, that know how to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus when the enemy's attacking. When we're being tested, when we're going through trials, we need to remain being good builders, because there's others relying on us to build correctly the house of God. We need to grow in our gift. We need to invest in our gift. 1 Corinthians 3:13. The Bible reads, His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. God is not so caught up in the quantity, but the quality of our work. The Lord here this morning is looking for quality disciples that know how to work with quality in mind, not just building anyway and just going through it and just, they won't notice, nobody sees, everything's good. Quality is what the Lord's looking for. I believe in order to build with a quality work, we need to operate in our gift or gifts. So what is your gift here this morning? Do you know what it is? And if you do, how are you investing in your gift? How are you growing your gift? How are you maturing in what the Lord has given you to strengthen the church, to edify the church? What are you doing with your gift? It's very important that we use our gift here to strengthen one another. Very important here this morning. I put here, life brings many tests to all, the believers and the unbelievers as well. Life is full of tests, full of trials. But there's a difference. When you have a relationship with Jesus and you're in the fire, amen? There should be a conviction within our lives through the relationship we have with the Lord to continue to build with quality, even though we're in the storm. To continue to use our gift in edifying the body, even though we're under trial, under fire. And I believe that is the type of man and woman that the Lord is looking for in these end times that we're living. A man that can stand in the fire. A woman that can stand in the fire. A youth member that can stand in the fire and make a difference. I want to let you know that it's possible to stand in the fire. The tests and the trials that we go through allows us the opportunity to demonstrate God's grace at work within our lives. When somebody knows you're going through something, they'll be looking at you for two reasons. They care about you, and they'll kind of look at you a little bit more because they know you're going through it. The other person will look at you wondering, I wonder how much longer it's going to take that person to fail. The tests that we face, the trials that we go through, bring opportunities from our life to others to see, to demonstrate God's grace at work within our lives. Where people would be saying stuff like, man, you know what sister such and such is going through? Wow, man, she's still coming to church, she's still praying, she's still worshiping. Do you know brother of such and such, man, this and this took place and he's still praising, he's still worshiping the Lord? It brings a demonstration that something greater than you, something greater than the test or the trial you're going through is taking place in your life. And that something greater is Jesus. It's Jesus. There's times that all I can hold on to is Jesus. Where nothing else is going to get me through but Jesus and Jesus alone. I want my life to demonstrate what Jesus is able to do in one's life and what he's able to do through one's life. Not only in the good times, but also in the hard times. Tell your neighbor, that calls for growth. But on the flip side of that coin, the opportunity to demonstrate God's grace at work within our lives, how he's able to change one's life. The flip side to that is, the test within our lives also gives us opportunities to see what areas within our lives that still need work on. The trials that we go through brings out those areas that would otherwise not be identified outside of the test, outside of the trial. Amen? Both sides of the coin are very positive. In my prayers, I say it over and over. It's in my spirit right now when I pray. It says, Lord, forgive me all my sins. Cleanse me, wash me before I get with the Lord. And I say, and forgive me for those errors that I'm not even aware of. And Lord, I ask that you reveal those areas that I'm not even aware of. And it's one of those catch 22, be careful what you pray for. He's okay. Well, Brother Charlie, Pastor Charlie, whatever you want to be called, I could just go dink and show it to you, put it on the overhead projector, or I could send some trials and tribulation your way to answer the request of your prayer of revealing what's still left within your life. that is not good. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 to 7. The Bible reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." I want you to listen up now. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while," tell your neighbor, "a little while. Though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. And may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Verse 6 says, "When we suffer grief in all kinds of trial, for us to rejoice, for it's for a little while. While you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Somebody, or should everybody, say, "Praise God, hallelujah." One, we need it. Amen. We need it. The Bible says that when we suffer grief in all kinds of trials, it's part of the process in fulfilling God's purpose for your life. God uses grief, suffering, trials, testings. Verse 7 says it allows your faith to become genuine. Tells us that there's many types of faith that people have that are not genuine. The things we suffer, the things we go through, the testings that we go through, the process that the Lord uses, is to allow our faith to be genuine. To be genuine. I put here, how many know that trials have a way of making Christians give up? Trials have a way of making Christians give up. When it's something that is needed within our life to make our faith genuine, where our faith is able to hold, to stand. It's easy to say that you got faith, but is it genuine? Can you remain in faith under pressure? Is your faith genuine? Is it only a faith that is there when things are going good? Or is it a faith that is genuine, that endures even when things are not going your way? In the midst of all that, Jesus is trying to work something out of your life, to work something into your life, and allow your faith to become genuine in Him. See, the Lord is looking for genuine faith here this morning from His spiritual sons and daughters. He's looking for genuine faith, knowing that harder times are to come. He says, I got to get my son, I got to get my daughter to a place of genuine faith. If everybody had genuine faith, nobody would ever leave Jesus to go be with the devil. Nobody in their right mind would ever leave Jesus. But the enemy is crafty, and when we're facing this trial, this tribulation, this test that is from God, he's crafty in getting in the equation within the process and allowing us to quit. These are usually three main areas that people get hit on: finances, health, and family. Finances, health, and family. Almost everything I counsel or endure falls within those three areas right there. Tells me that these three areas God wants to work in. Tells me in these three areas the devil also wants to put some work in. So here the Lord knows that finances are important, so he gives us instruction through his word to tithe, to have financial liberty. The Lord knows there's sickness. It comes with our salvation. Healing comes with our salvation. And that's why he took it upon the cross. For not only our salvation, but for our healing as well. Family. God has always got a lot of room to work with the family. But if we watch the news or in one of those seasons within your house right now, the enemy likes to come into the family setting as well. So God wants in your finances, amen. He wants in your health. He wants in your family, but so does the enemy. But so does the enemy. I put, it's not our finances, health, or family which is being tested, under attack. It's not our finances, health, or family which is being tested or under attack. Get the revelation. It's our faith that's under attack. It's our faith that's under attack. Our faith in Jesus is what's under attack, which is the enemy's hitting. You see, when we have genuine faith in Jesus, we're going to prosper. Even as hard as it's to understand at times, when our finances get hit, amen, when our health gets hit, when our family gets hit, it's an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for the Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to show us what needs work on, to show us where we're missing it. It's not our finances, health, or family which is under attack. It's our faith. The enemy would love for you to think that it's your finances, health, and family that's under attack. But the truth is, he's attacking your faith. He knows if he can remove the faith, he's got you. It strikes me odd that when men, women, and youth go through trials, why do they want to give up Jesus and stop coming to church? Why don't they stop going to work? Why don't they stop going to school? Why do they stop Jesus? But we're still on work on time. No matter what we're going through, we're at work, come whatever comes, we're at work. Why don't we get in the flesh one day say, you know what, I'm not going to work no more. Yeah, I know I own a house. I know I ain't going to work no more. I'm under a trial. I'm in the process of God. I'm not going to work no more. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get back at my boss. Man, that would bring so much relief and comfort to me. But the majority, 99.9, come after me. The one that's given instructions here this day. Stop working. Don't stop Jesus. It's almost as if your job site is a greater revelation under the trial than Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. I know what, this is too hard. Jesus, I quit. I quit. I'm going to work overtime now. I need to make this happen. It's not our finances, health, or family which is being under attack and under the test. It's our faith. Whether we trust in God or not, that's being attacked. I know this from experience. It's faith. The enemy wants to get you to a place where, man, is this really worth it? I'm getting more results from going to work than going to church. Because work calls for the natural, church calls for the supernatural, the spiritual, for people being genuine. The testings that we go through demonstrate whether we have faith in God and within that area within our life that we're being tried on right now. Trials and testings have a way of making or breaking a person. But the Lord will rather take those odds than give no test, no trial, and just hope we get it right on our own. That ain't happening. It's our faith that gets hit. When Peter was getting attacked, Jesus says, the enemy is coming to sift you, but I have prayed for your faith. The prayer of Jesus for Peter was to pray for his faith. Amen? That he would not give up. Did that mean Peter didn't get hit and go through it and do the wrong thing? No. But he came back. He came back. It was used in a mighty and powerful way by God. Jesus prayed for his faith. He could have prayed for him being loyal. Because at that time he denied the Lord 3 times. He took off, warming himself by the fire with the enemy. Denying the Lord 3 times. The Lord could have prayed for loyalty over the life of Peter, but he prayed for his faith. He prayed for his faith. That his faith would be genuine. Tell your neighbor, the Lord's looking for genuine faith here this morning. When testings and trials come and we show improvement in our faith, not so much how we speak, but we show improvement in our faith, in the area that's being tested. Sometimes the real beginning, our faith is real low, and then we start dealing with it, and then we're contemplating this or this, and then we start saying, no, man, I got to do it the Lord's way. I got to do it the Lord's way. Our faith starts to improve in an area that's being tested within our lives. My question to you here this morning, is your faith being improved in that area that you're being tested, or is your faith being weakened? The desire of the Lord is that it be strengthened, that your faith grow. By the end of the day, that you would have great faith in that area that you're being tested, which equals genuine faith. When testing comes and we show improvement in our faith in the area we're being tested, then our faith within that area being tested becomes genuine. It's an area now that is being tested, not just left alone on its own, but it's being tested. And as we respond in faith incorrectly, amen, that area that started off weak becomes an area of genuine faith that allows us to continue to go forward. Trials allow you and I to become genuine believers. Trials, testings allow you and I to become genuine believers. Fruit that is able to remain on the vine. Not just fruit that is there for a season when everything's going good, but Jesus is looking for a fruit that will remain, that will last, that will be genuine, that he would be able to demonstrate his grace and mercy through that individual's life. Trials allow you to become genuine. Romans 5, 3 and 5, very known scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. There is that word, rejoice in our sufferings. What? Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And that perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. James chapter 1. Verses 2 to 4. The Bible reads, consider it pure joy, my brothers, talking to the believer, whenever you face trials of many kinds. This is the attitude we should have. Easier said than done, huh? Pastor, can you really be done? Yes, it can. Sometimes when the initial hit comes, we get off to a slow start, but then we come to our senses, man, I need to do this the Lord's way. I need a miracle in this area. I can't get a miracle from my boss. I can't get a miracle from overtime. This equation, this area that's weak within my life that's under trial needs a miracle. And the last time I checked, the only one that's still in the miracle working business is Jesus. You can't get a miracle from your boss, no matter how long you've been working with him or her. On their best day, they cannot do a miracle for you. But Jesus, on his worst day, can do a miracle for you. Too many times we go to the wrong source looking for a breakthrough, looking for a new revelation above the revelation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of Jesus. The foundation of Jesus that was already laid, it represents the cross, his blood, the resurrection. That not even death can stop us. The foundation of Jesus is what he did on the cross for us to be victorious here today, whether we're in a trial or on top of the mountaintop. God is looking for men and women and youth of genuine faith that are able to stand under whatever you're going through, as hard as it gets. Jesus is trying to grow your faith, and the enemy is trying to weaken your faith in Jesus. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to follow? Has Jesus, as Pastor Jamie took the offering, has there not been already enough evidence in the works of Jesus, not only that he did, but that he did 2,000 years ago, but is there a work and an evidence that Jesus has done in your life, in my life, by now, that we should say, Jesus is able to do all things, not some things, but all things? Is there not an evidence in your life that God has been good? Is there not an evidence in your life that he has seen you through many trials before the one you're in right now? If Jesus took you in, he's going to take you all the way through. See, here this morning, there's an evidence of the greatness of Jesus. But too many times we get caught in a bad attitude, stinky thinking, as AA says. And we want to work extra hours. We start not spending time with the Lord. We start backing up in our giving. We stop backing up in everything that was working. Jesus, here this morning, whatever you're facing and going through, and I got my own. I'm not just preaching a message, pulling out a few verses out of the Bible. I believe I'm tested on a daily basis because I'm held more accountable for being a minister, a pastor, a teacher. And what I do, I'm held accountable to the Lord and how I build. I got to be very careful. But too many times we look at the trial and what we're going through as bad luck. God don't care about us. I've done all this, and still I'm going through what I'm going through. God's trying to take your faith to another level and get you to the place he wants to use you at, with greatness as an expert builder. After the breakthrough comes, you just become that much greater of a builder in the church. You become that much greater in working with other lives, with a greater faith, a greater acknowledgement of Jesus and what he's able to do. You get a fresh surge of faith when the trial is over. The scripture says it's for a little while. But man, sometimes those little whiles get stretched out. My Jesus. I have those conversations. Hey, Lord, what's up with this one, man? I know when you did that, I had that coming. When you did that one, I understood it. I did it. But what's up with this one, man? That person got 10 days saved. What's up with my 20 years, man? Using a person with 10 days saved. I have my complaints. Or sometimes it's like, come on, Jesus, come on, man, let's talk. Enough's enough. Stop that from happening. And at the end of every trial, he says, are you going to trust me? I have nothing else to trust in. For what I need in my life today to continue to grow my faith and for it to continue to become genuine, I have no one else that can give me genuine faith but Jesus. But the process he uses sometimes, my God, it don't make sense to our logic and to our natural way of thinking. And that's why we got to have a relationship with Jesus to get spiritual understanding when we're facing trials of many kinds. We need to get with Jesus, start fighting with somebody and going doing this and doing that. You need to get with Jesus. Bible scriptures are telling us to praise the Lord and be full of joy while we're going through what we're going through. Because the Lord knows that the outcome is going to be a greater faith, a greater trust and belief that you're going to have in Jesus, and that you're going to be even that much greater of a witness of what Jesus is able to do. I think he's telling some of you right now, hey, you've been using that witness line of yours for long enough. I got to get some fresh material in your heart So I'm going to put you through this and this and this to get some fresh stuff. First John chapter 1, verse 9. We all need this message right now, people. It's not for one or two or five or ten. Every last one of us. Because this is the place where God wants to improve our faith, but this is also a place where the enemy wants to destroy our faith. We got to be careful how we build. We got to be careful what we say, what we do. It's a place where God wants to improve us. It's a place where the enemy wants to destroy our faith. Because once we don't have faith no longer in Jesus, we're pretty much through with money. Your boss, with time, will not be nobody. That money won't do nothing for you. And you'll find yourself coming back to Jesus, coming back to the altar. First John 1, 9, the Bible reads, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we continue to have a good attitude through the trial and might get off to a bad start in whatever is taking place, but with reasoning, with time, the things you do are not working, and you find yourself back at the throne of Jesus, back at the feet of Jesus, the Lord will allow things that are taking place in your life to be revealed, for you to confess of your sins, for you to, and then as you do this, He will continue to purify your life. He continues to purify us as we respond correctly, as our faith continues to increase and being genuine, the Lord will start to purify our lives. When we confess to the Lord, to me also represents having a relationship with the Lord. And not just a religious prayer. God, everything's good, all good, amen. See you later, protect me at work today. You know, no, it's one that sometimes we need to confess of things that are taking place within our lives. And as we do this, the Lord will purify us, and He continues to purify us. God will continue, I put here, to allow testing to come our way, to reveal to us what areas still need work. He does it by fire to purify us. I put here, we might start off as 10 karat gold, amen. Victory here and there, once in a while, victory. 10K gold. At this point, I put here, you have some value. Not much, but you got some value. There's still impurities in 10 karat gold. There's still areas of wood, straw, and hay in your life that can be consumed by fire. See, Jesus wants to purify us like gold and silver. He wants to continue to remove the dross from our lives, and the only way He can do that is to increase the heat, to increase the fire. Some dross comes up real quick in our beginning walk with the Lord. Some stays lodged up in our hearts where the only way it's able to surface, come out, is through fire. And then Jesus removes the dross. He says, man, you're 14K now, but a little bit more fire, baby. Here we go. And He cranks it up. And we're saying, Jesus, use me in a mighty, powerful way. He's saying, well, you're 14 karat now. Your value has increased. You're getting a little bit more victories, but you're still weak in this area. You're still weak. You still got straw and wood in areas that can be consumed by fire. I want to consume what is not of me from your life and purify your life. I want you to have a pure, genuine faith. But with further refining in the fire, we can become 24 karat gold. Amen. And there's a lot of value in 24 karat gold in comparison to 10 karat gold. It's a process. How many want to be purified of the things that hold you down? You're going to have to go through the trials of many kinds. Sometimes things are happening that look like they're straight from the devil, from the pit of hell. And we're yelling in the house, "Behind me, Satan!" And it's Jesus saying, "Oh my God, now they think I'm Satan, man. This is me. Get to your room. Pray to me. Come. Be a giver, and I will show you that this is me doing this work. It's me," the Lord says. "I know it don't look like something me would do, but it's me." 1 John 1:9 says that at the end, that yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not, that's not the one. You jumped the gun, buddy. We're still 1 John 1:9. "We confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." From all unrighteousness. This is what the Lord says that he's able to do in one's life. Amen? From all stuff that's within our lives. And closing here this Sunday morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. The Bible reads, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." A lot of times our work for our boss is in vain. But sometimes we get to a conclusion within our mind, being in the church, that you may say, "I've been doing my best and still I'm miserable. Everything I'm doing, it's not worth it." The word of the Lord says that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're building the house of God, where God's working within our lives to become those expert builders, to become those that know what they're doing. We had a meeting yesterday out in the back lawn. It was a beautiful sunny day. Amen, about evangelism and what you do under different situations in the streets, dealing with different people that we meet and stuff. Real good, being of experience that I've learned over the years. And I'm convinced when we go to the streets and we have our rallies that it works. That our labor is not in vain. Now, I could see we show up in the corner instead of having hot dogs and sodas, having crack and heroin and booze at the table, how we could draw the hood out of the woodwork, amen? But for a hot dog, talking about Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. And the Lord is looking for those that are willing to do his work in and out of season. But it's going to take having a genuine faith. And to have a genuine faith, you got to go through what? There's no way around it. We need to become convinced that whatever we're going through, God's building our faith in who he is. He's bringing our witness to another level, our testimony to another level. When we speak to somebody, are we just saying, inviting them to church? Or are we talking off experience that he's done this for me, he's done this, and you got a long old list, and able to say, like I say, "For 20 years I haven't cussed or drank a drop of alcohol and smoked a cigarette," and what? Now that's not a great revelation, but it is if you were who I used to be. Are nothing short of miracles all the way through, and God has done that for many of you all. For many of you all. The evidence is strong here this day that God has been good to us and that he is in control this day. I preach you, I got a long time. Accept everything the Lord allows to take place. simply because he's in control this morning. If you're going to go pout with Jesus. Pouting to friends and everything is not going to bring genuine faith. They will probably agree to you to leave the church. Man, I left it 2 years ago. Look how good I'm doing. Want to smoke? Man, ever since I left the church, I got a high-paying job, man. You know, I deliver beer all over Wisconsin now. If we're going to give up some things, let's give up those things that are trying to tie us down. Don't give up Jesus. Where's the revelation in giving up Jesus? That devil, tell your neighbor, is a liar. To get us to a point to surrender Jesus, when that point should be getting us closer with a greater genuine faith in Jesus, we'd rather give up Jesus, go back to smoking cigarettes, having a few social beers in the weekend, you know, at the baseball game. Nothing wrong with that. All men do that. No, they don't. I don't do it. Don't give up Jesus. Don't give up Jesus. He knows what he's doing here this morning. All he wants to do is use you at another level of faith. Another level of faith in him. Apostle Paul, I don't have the scripture, but he says, I went through shipwrecks, I was stoned, I was left for dead, I was left for naked, I was left with no food. But of all the hardships, God saw me through. He made him that much greater of a man. Because every last one of them should have took him out. Even that old snake that came out of the fire there on the island. All the islands, the snake came out and it bit him. And the Bible says he took it and he threw the snake back in the fire, and all the islanders said, ooh, that was the black mamba that got him right there. That's a two-step quitter. 2 steps later, you're dead. The islanders knew what snake just bit Paul. They knew he was through. They waited. They said he should have been dead already 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. Now, this guy should be dead, man. That was the snake. Right now, there's an attack on your life from the snake. The Bible says he shook him off and threw him back where he came from. The Bible says it was such a mind blower to the islanders there in the island that they started worshiping Paul like he was a god, because they knew that snake should have took him out. Each and every one of us should have been taken out long time ago. Don't trip in what you're going through right now. Grace and mercy is upon your life. Each and every one of us should have been done with money long time ago. We got testimonies here. I feel like lining some of you up and tell us how big and bad you were in the devil. If he couldn't take you out while you were running with him, he ain't going to take you out while we're running with Jesus. Shake it off. Whatever you're going through, shake it off. Shake it off. Don't let it kill your faith in the only one that is genuine and true. His name is Jesus. He saved your life at the cross. He showed us how much he loves us. Shake off the enemy. Don't shake off Jesus. If we allow him to work our mind and work our mind, we shake Jesus off. Like he was a bad thing in our lives. Oh, you got to have a relationship with the Lord here this morning as the worship team makes their way forward. You got to have a relationship with the Lord to be able to stand in the fire. To stand and shake off what should be shook off and not shake off. The Bible says a sifting will come. And when a sifting comes, God wants to remove what shouldn't be within our lives. My pastor always says when I'm going through it, he said, work with those that still remain. Because too many times I'm trying to help those that aren't with us. Because I want to build correctly. I want to do this and this. And he says, sometimes you just got to work with the ones that remain, that have a genuine faith. They're still going to go through it, but after the smoke clears, they're still there with you. Work with those that remain. Let's use what we're going through to bring us closer to Jesus, to have a greater revelation on who Jesus is, to have a greater revelation to give the lost and the bound. When we're able to say, man, I was just where you're at, man, out of that and that and that. You know, I always say that I still preach about prostitutes, booze, heroin, coke, and all that stuff. I just don't do it no more. The power of Jesus, I always say, is able to use the substances and the talking, the things that were trying to kill me, I use now to bring them, people to salvation. Jesus can take you right now from where you're at. Prove yourself here this day in Jesus. His grace and mercy is here for us to have a genuine faith. His grace and mercy is here to help us this day to get to the next level of faith, of being genuine, of being genuine, a genuine brother in the church, a genuine sister in the church that can be counted on, trusted on, no matter what the season may be, being genuine. Jesus loves us.